follow Jesus. Who likes to follow Jesus? Brother Daniel.
Morning, dear brethren. I just got a phone call this morning home. We have 30 centimeters snow. And it's very cold. Also, south of France, we are freezing in Europe. So I'm very happy to be here with you because it's a little bit hot for me now here. I had a lot of greetings also from Sister Nina, my wife, because she knows some brethren here in the U.S. We have been here 12 years ago with Nicola, my son, and the rest of the little class I am attending. They said at least 100 times to me, don't forget to give our love, Christian love, to the brethren. So I have to do it again if I did it before also. The subject today came to my mind last year before Passover, before the memorial. We did a study also on that time, some prophecies in Matthew 24. I am not going in studying that with you today, but we will just like to read maybe the beginning of this chapter 24 in Matthew, which became last year strange to me, or I pay more attention to those five first verses. And as you know, I need an Aaron here to talk to you because I am not able to talk in that language. And my Aaron name is dark today, so brother, please read for me chapter 24, Matthew 1-5.
And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many.
This is strange for me, brethren, that, you know, Jesus says a great news, so to say, in verse 2. He says, everything you see here will be destroyed. Imagine, I would say that to you, going out from here, seeing Albuquerque, I would say to you, you see the Albuquerque would be destroyed. You will be shocked. Like they were shocked. And of course, after a while, they ask him, tell us, what does it mean for us? The answer was, watch out that no one deceives you. And this is my point at the beginning today, brethren. Watch out that nobody will deceive us. From what? And the question was in the title, are we really looking for Jesus? Would we like to watch after the steps of Jesus? He said also that for many will come in my name. Traditionally we say, well, there are some other ones outside here. They are similar to us, but we know the differences, so we are in good shape here. Oh, I don't know so much, brethren. I don't know so much if we are in such a good shape because we claim we know the right true and the real true, etc. He became after saying that to the disciples, he came to the points, and you know Matthew 24. But let's see two other verses, one in the Old Testament, one in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, in Jeremiah 29, verse 8, 29, 8, Jeremiah.
For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which ye cause to be dreamed.
He spoke to Israel, brethren, not to some other strangers or foreigners or... He spoke to Israel in that case for several good reasons. Maybe we shouldn't apply one-to-one this text for us, but there is some truth in it. If we are starting to follow a brother or a sister, even if they are right, we are not following Jesus anymore. We are following a human first. I am not saying doesn't follow brethren if they are right. I am just saying in a different way, please make sure they are right, first. Secondly, have a lot of respect because they are right, and try to learn from them how they did it, how they managed it to be right, and follow that principle. But have in mind and see very clearly at the end of your road, Jesus, or the truth. Because you never know if they will be right forever, the brethren. You see? And following Jesus is a hard job, in my opinion. It's not so easy. And we are not finished because we have right faith, good belief, and good results in our truth. That's the beginning of the way, not the end of the way. Because another principle is that God is following us 24 hours a day at least, and he is giving us more and more blessings, but on the other hand, he is also asking us more and more to do, if we are able to do. As an example, I have Jesus again. Jesus was a short time consecrated, 3.5 years, but he was busy all the time, wasn't he? Okay, you may say, of course, he had a great project. We don't have the same one today. We have a little part of that, which means sacrificing. We have it. And believe me, brethren, we would be busy a lot of hours in our day if we take care about this little part of this sacrifice or participation to this sacrifice. The other verse I would like to mention is in Colossians chapter 2, verse 18.
Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind.
Okay, I would just add no comment because we have not so much time, but this is very clear to us, and like just to mention that. Okay, let's maybe 1 John also 4:1 could be adequate to that. 1 John 4:1.
Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world.
Good. This is easy, brethren, if the truths some others are giving to us are far away from the real truth. But this is not easy if we are talking about principal truths or prophecies which are very narrow to our belief, to our faith, to what we think. And those small differences become sometimes very big between us. One of these points is Jesus present for a second time or not? I must say, because I was always open, that I believe in that very strongly. He is present to me, for me. And then I have the problem to answer, or the question to answer, if he is present, what he's doing. You know, what he's doing. And the question we ask in France or in different European classes was, if he is present, he is coming to us first, to the church, to the world, to the Jews, to whom? I don't know if we are able to, maybe I am not able to understand any details of this presence. But the principle we should understand. I have the feeling, and I would like to share that with you, that if he's present, he came first to the church. Like a priest is going to the holy in the tabernacle and working there in the holy place of the tabernacle first. This is, if I am right, a privilege for us to have our Lord with us. Now, of course, I hope that nobody here will expect him to see him really with our eyes and natural eyes. But we have some other eyes which are spiritual, and we should see a lot with those eyes during our consecration, I mean, on this side of the veil. And I remember in that case what he did just before Passover. You remember what Jesus did just before Passover on that same night? Let's see in John 13, verse 1 to 5.
Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And the supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded.
Brethren, I don't like to go to details today if Jesus is present, not present, what are his main activities, etc., because I will start here another convention about this subject. But I would like to pay attention, if you agree with me, to the fact that if he is present with us, he must have some activities. He must tell us. He will tell us something. I don't believe that he will just stay and do something and have no interest to his own body, so to say, so to the rest of his body. He will have something to tell us. And the question could be, is he again washing our feet or not? In what sense, if yes? What is his goal if he is within the church, in that holy place, in the tabernacle? And by asking those questions to myself, of course, I feel very small first. And I feel that even born in the church, I don't know anything. I know so few. And maybe I'm spending so little time to think about those principles. This is our last chance to be in that church, brother. Maybe it takes a long time for me, for you, for another. Maybe very short. You remember? Comment dit Étienne? Stephen. Stephen, thank you. You remember Stephen? Very consecrated, very short life. Maybe it happens to us too. Who knows? So we don't have to pass the train, you see, so to say. We have to jump in that train as soon as possible and as fast as possible. And maybe we have we are of use, we are a tool maybe to Jesus today, because if he is within us, among us, I mean, and he is talking, he is teaching us something. He's talking to us, but he will not talk like we are expecting, to just appearing here and talking to us. But through the brethren, through sister, through brother, through the questions we have, or sometimes through the events we have to pass in our life, he's telling us something. Do we pay enough attention to that? Or are we just like, you know, jumping from on the water, so like surfing on our face and belief, and thinking, of course, very deeply with our prayers. Thank you, Lord. And by the way, the prayers. Did you remark that if you pray, you are demanding a lot and thinking a lot? It's good so, because our Father is very good to us. He gave us much more than that what we need. Sometimes we are asking too much. We should just wait and be patient to the time he is giving us that what we need. Let's, in the same chapter, let's read verse 14 to 17.
John 13:14. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them.
Happy are you if you do that, brethren, if we do that. So, maybe I am a tool which is of use for my Lord, if I start to wash your feet. That's important for me because I have to be humble to do that. I have to go to my knees. I have to respect you in a certain sense. And by doing that, I am respecting the chosen of God. And this gives me a chance to get a lot of blessings, on the other hand, because I'm doing that in that way, you see? And by doing that, I am very concentrated to the fact that I consider you, sister or brother, at least as important as I am. even more important as I am. And maybe I will have a chance to understand what is so good in myself, because God did ask me to follow Jesus, and use that and develop this good part of myself to help Jesus to make the church complete. We cannot stop the watch or the clock of the time God did imagine at the beginning of the universe. We will not stop it. He will just change the persons, you see. If we are trying to break and to stop this evolution of the church or the completion of the church, he will just choose another one. He will not change the time. He will not just wait and wait for us. And if we are aware about that, we will have enough motivation to start something in us first, to clean our house first, inside, as much as possible. And this is also not easy, because I have some trouble to see my errors and my bad points. But I have a wife. I have also brethren in my class. I have some other servants which are chosen by my class. And I should need them. At least I should listen to them, because they will show me sometimes what I don't see. If you believe that they are not able to show you what you don't see, then maybe you are not humble enough. I don't see here in this room one person without any weaknesses. We are such brethren, such little animals, so to say, with no need for God and the Lord, but just because they have enough mercy and enough love to us, they are so much interested to us. If we are going to approach that in that sense, and Jesus did tell us, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. I am not here to teach you how do you have to do it. You know, consecration is a personal thing. We have to find by ourselves what is our role. We are good to finding some roles, by the way. I could imagine I am a good teacher, I know several languages, I will teach to the brethren, you saw, talk to them how they have to behave, etc. But in our discussions yesterday, we had some points telling to me that you should start with yourself and within your class, and then afterwards, if you have enough time, go out and preach. And maybe we should spend more time with our children, relatives, family, with our class. Maybe we should use more opportunities, and those opportunities we have it at work. Just a little example. I am teaching also management, because I was infected by Brother Paul Malley. And I like it, and I see that the students, they need it also. And I use a lot of examples from the Bible. But I don't tell them that's from the Bible. Just once I tell that Jesus was for me the first manager I have seen on the earth. He was very organized. He had principles, rules. He had followers, so he was a leader. And he did transmit to those 12 the ideas. And he did it so well that 2,000 years later, we believe in it. A better manager I didn't find on the earth. So management for me is not just earning money or taking more business from the customers, but management means to me having principles and be able to communicate those to the other ones. Communication is a big advantage or a big quality if you have it, or if you are able to develop it. How a mother is communicating, communicating to the children is unique, brethren, is really unique. Take some time and observe it, you will see. The result is that the children, they believe in it, in the mother. They believe very strongly. We should have the same behavior with our Lord, but with a little bit difference, because the Lord is not communicating directly to us like our mother did it, but through the brethren or through some other things. So we should verify first if everything we have listened to is okay. Let's go further in our subject by reading Ephesians chapter 4. And we will read verses 20 to 25.
But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, or rather, the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another.
You see, brethren, we have here one of those principles. What we should apply is separation between the old body and the new body. This we have to do it by our own. So we have to know those two bodies, and we have to analyze the situation, and we have to make some decisions. We have to discuss those decisions with, at home, with the husband or wife or children, with a class, with some other ones, to verify that we are right. And after that, we have to go to work. And we have to work by our own to separate the old body from the new one. And don't tell me you did it and you have no problem with that anymore. I don't believe it. See, we are looking to the young ones and say, well, they are very impressed with the new things and new technologies and computer and TV, etc. And I would add, I am 50 and I'm also impressed with computer and technologies and TV, etc. And maybe you are 70 or 80 and you are also impressed with computers and technology, etc. So we have it with us the whole time. So this is one kind of work we have to do. These are simple things I am telling to you, because I am not able to tell you complicated things. But they are important. Jesus is not expecting from us we will change the rotation of the earth. He is expecting we will change ourselves. And if we have enough power, we will help him to change maybe something else. If we have enough time and power to do that. We have a kind of answers to those points in the same chapter 4, Ephesians, and verse 1 to 6.
I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you,
4:1.
I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism.
You see, brethren, I said before we should make a lot of efforts to separate the old body from the new one. Step number 2, we should also put a lot of effort to associate the new one to the other new one. Because we are one bread, one body, one faith, one consecration, one baptism. So the separation for ourselves is needed because the new one has to be immediately associated to another new one, which is within you, brethren. And this is a second kind of work we have for us, the whole life. And this association has to be very strong. I always use at my university the example what we have in our cells. Let's say the atomic examples. If you have two atoms of something which likes to be together, you need a lot of energy to separate it. And because of that, this nuclear energy is, the nuclear bombs are so heavy destroying because you are destroying this attraction. This is natural. God did that in that way. So, brethren, if you are really associated as a new creature, one to each other, there is no power to separate you on the earth. And the evil will not separate you also. This power is too strong because it is done in that way. And in my opinion, if here in verse 2 in my translation, it says, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. That means that it is a work we have to do. It is not an immediate thing to be associated. But we have to put it in that way. And to push it in that way. And for a certain time, we will have some problems to associate myself to your new body. But after a while, we will reach that point that we are associated. And you will see that in that case, nobody is able to dissociate that again. Even if there will be some problems between us, we will. No, I will be maybe doing something wrong, but you will understand it because you will have enough mercy also to me, enough love to me. And you will be able to tell me very frankly I am doing wrong. This for increasing this association, not for destroying it. And the time we have understood that principle, we will work in that principle more and more. And we will have no more problems with fellowship or with the age of somebody or some other fleshly things will be not important to us. And we will see more and more in our brethren the truth. Sometimes we see just, you say the facade, you said it, the wall, We see the external part of our brethren. And we need a long time to understand that he is a deep brother or sister in Christ with a lot of qualities. Because we have seen just the behavior or the first impression we had, and it clicked just in our brain, and that's it. But by looking to associate myself, my new body, with your new body, I will learn a lot from you too. And I will see how important you are to me. And then we will have no more borders, no more frontiers, no more problems for languages, no more, you know, different style of life, etc. This will be not important. Just not important. We will have some other goals, different goals. And we will lift those goals from the earth in the direction of the heaven. And we will like surfing, but on the earth this time. It will not touch us if they have some problems on the earth. Let them have those problems. We have another interest. We don't care about those problems. See? Those principles are, again, very simple to understand, but they are so hard to make in practice. Let's go further. Maybe we should read in the same chapter 4, verse 11 to 14.
And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, but by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive.
You see, if the Lord is giving us some shepherds or brethren, or like he says here, evangelists and prophets and apostles, etc., it's not because we need some bosses and leaders. We have one leader, that's enough. But because it says in verse 14, then we will no longer be infants and blown here and there by every wind. We need to be guidelined, so to say, in our faith. And some of us, those brethren who are serving us, but also sisters answering questions, participating in our meetings, are putting kind of guidelines on the way and telling us that this is good, this is not good. And we have to make those decisions by our own to follow that way and to agree with those commands which are given to us through the Bible and through the truth, to the Word of God. And those leaders are not really leaders for us. They are servants. They are a blessing which is given from God to us, to help us. This is also the way Jesus is using today to teach to us and to talk what we should do to us. See? So don't consider that as an organization. The only organization I know for us is the class itself. This is the highest institution we have, or God did agree on the earth. The servants inside are just your tools. And you should use it. And you should make profit of them as much as possible. Because if you use it more and more, they will be better and better. There are some scripture you remember that they will be blessed by the fact that, in so to say, you are pumping the knowledge out of them. So pump as much as you can, because they will have from the Holy Spirit more and more for you. If you don't do that, you are missing the train, brethren. You are just staying at the station. And the other ones are going fast. And there are only 144,000 places. We are skipping Romans 11 because we had yesterday 1 hour about Romans 11. But there are some, just for remembering, some nice idea in that chapter 11 in Romans. But go to Ephesians chapter 5. And the first verse.
Be there followers of God as dear children.
So how can we be followers of God? Followers of Jesus is okay for me because he is my leader, he is my head, he is my expectation. He gives for me his life. And I like to follow him. But followers of God. We have no time to go in the Old Testament, but there are plenty of places where you could see how God dealt with the human being and how he directed Moses, Abraham, David, etc. And we should follow that way also. We should say, like David says, because he had also some problems in the night, you remember? He didn't sleep so well. But he said at the end, well, this is too hard for me. It's just too great for me. I don't understand it. It's my translation of his word. I don't understand it. It's so great. It's so huge that the chance I have to know you, and it was only a God for him. Today it is a Father for us. Much more. There is another point I would like to mention here is Matthew 6:25.
Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment?
Brethren, I have the feeling that this is especially written for us. As I know, in the past, they have to fight a lot to eat. They have to work a long time to have something to eat. At least in our Western countries, we don't have this, generally speaking, so much. It is not hard for us to have plenty to eat, and more than that. And maybe we know all together that we are not paying so much attention to our pocket and to our house and to our two or three cars and etc., etc. But believe me, go to analyze yourself and be frank, you are paying a lot of attention to that. Me too. How it is possible to extract ourselves from those points, I don't know so much. I have to ask you, how do you do that? Because I have had always the feeling you have much more than we have, and you are able to disconnect that from your spiritual life much more than we are able in Europe. I am saying that very frankly to you. You are, generally speaking, in the U.S., in that matter, an example to me. Well, you will find some wrong examples, but you know, I'm not talking about details, I'm talking in general. And And this is an example for the other brethren. I don't know if the other brethren are seeing that in that way. I have sometimes the feeling that if you have nothing, and now you can have something, you are jumping on that something very fast. And we did that in Europe. Maybe the Polish brethren did that also. Maybe the Romanian brethren are doing that today. I don't know. I'm not criticizing, I'm just question mark, not more. It is, in my understanding, our responsibility, if we know something better, to show to the other one how he has to behave with that. In some details also, because there is not only a relationship which is, let's say, spiritual relationship between us. We should only talk about scriptures. Sometimes you are helping another much more if we are talking about fleshly things he doesn't understand. Or if you are giving him some solutions for simple little things. And then he will start by himself to think about that and to correct himself. So you did play the finger of the truth by putting the finger on the right point and transmitting only the truth you got to that person, to that brother or sister. I took this example because it hurts us a little bit. It's just, you know, like a knife going into you now. You should think about that. You have, brethren in the U.S., a lot of responsibility by how do you use all the things you got from Lord and how do you deal with material things. I have the strong feeling that you have this influence on the earth, on the whole earth, because everyone is looking on the U.S., you see. Everything which is coming from the U.S. is perfect by definition. So you should tell them what is not perfect and how do you deal with these imperfections. And we should, on our side, listen to you and believe you, because we are not different to you. The mistakes you are doing, if you are doing some, we will do it 2 or 3 years later in Europe and 5 years later in Siberia, you see. We are not different. And this is also, to me at least, the blessing we have all over the places around the earth, to have you as Americans and to be narrow enough to you to be able to exchange those little details also, not only the big and high-level scriptures. Time is running. Go, please, Brother Dirk, to 2 Corinthians 7:1.
Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God.
To clean ourselves, I would propose to take some other brethren for that, doing that also. To clean ourselves is not so easy. You know, from the first layer we can clean, the second layer also, but there are several layers below that. We need some other ones to clean. We can read, of course, we can make some comparison between Abraham, myself, between Moses, myself, between some other prophets, myself, of course, Jesus, myself. This helps me to clean, to see where are the weaknesses. But after that, we need some others to help us. And this is why Jesus washed the feet 2,000 years ago. And today, again, I would propose, because we need it much more than the apostles did need it. Let's go further. In 1 John, second chapter, verse 1 to 6.
My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked.
So you see, brethren, if everything I said to you doesn't work, don't be afraid. Go back to our Lord and ask him to help you. And the help will come. But there is a little, very simple measure if it works or if it doesn't work in us. If we keep his commands. If we don't keep his commands, we are just in a virtual world, spiritual world, but not in a real one. And if we like to be within those 144,000, we have to show results. And again, go back to the brethren, to your wife, to your husband, and ask them, do you see some results? Do you see that I did change? I'm not so fast anymore. I'm first listening, answering afterwards. Or I am able to show a lot of love to the brethren, etc. If they see that, it's a measure for you, brethren. And because we are only one member, one unit, you will associate more and more your ability to do right to the other abilities to do right for the other members. And there is no power, brethren, on the earth to dissociate that and to break this spirit which is existing on the earth. I am sorry, brethren, if I did not transmit in the right way what I had in mind, but I'm sure that because you have much more knowledge than I have in the truth, you will complete it and make it 100%. I like to apologize if I hurt somebody here in that hour. But you know the truth is the truth. I cannot change it because I like to please to you. I did spoke to myself first during this hour, not to you. And maybe we will have a great opportunity today to fellowship and to complete everything which I didn't in that hour. May the Lord bless us and bless all the brethren on the earth.
Who likes to follow Jesus? Thank you, Brother Daniel, and for those thoughts. Some that stuck with me, that Jesus tells us something through our brother or sister, and I think he did this morning as well. And be the finger to the truth. I like that point. And then the last verses in 1 John 1 to 6, walk even as he walked. And of course that Jesus was the first manager, and he communicated those principles that was given to him. And that our wives or husbands will help us to see and clean our own houses, as well as to show us where we've done well and have exhibited the love that Jesus did. Thank you again, Brother Daniel. And Brother Daniel will close the meeting in prayer in the Polish language. Brethren, let us rise. Brother Daniel.
Ojcze nasz, który jesteś w niebie,
Zbliżamy się do tronu łaski Twego przez zasługi naszego Zbawcy, Pana naszego Jezusa Chrystusa, aby Ci najpierw podziękować, drogi Ojcze, za przywilej, który żeśmy mieli tu razem zgromadzić się i usłyszeć i rozbierać Twojego świętego słowa. Prosimy Cię, drogi Ojcze, abyś otworzył nasze umysły i serca, abyśmy umieli zrozumieć to, co do nas jest mówione i w czyn wprowadzać. Pamiętamy również za wszystkimi braćmi i siostrami, za tymi, którzy są na osobności w chorobach, w szpitalach, w więzieniach może i którzy też chcą żyć, jak Tobie się podoba, według prawdy. Przepraszamy Cię za nasze grzechy, jakimi tych wybaczamy tym, którzy nam coś czynią. I chcemy jeszcze raz, drogi Ojcze, podziękować za ten przywilej, który mamy, oddając się w Twoje ręce święte na cały ten dzień i w Twoje błogosławieństwo przez Pana naszego Jezusa Chrystusa. Amen.